come up to learn of thy truth. Lord, we come to lift up the word of God. And Lord, we pray that today that you will open the hearts of each one today. Lord, that they might receive that which you have for them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our hearts we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
You can be seated. I usually use YouTube to figure out what I want to sing on Sunday mornings, and I came across an artist that had recorded, he was usually a country music artist, and that was all, and he had recorded a whole album of hymns, and it was such a hit that he came back and he did it a second time, and the little blurb on it said, the title of the album, I think, was actually The Older I Get. And I think there's a whole generation out there that was raised knowing the Lord and, you know, being very fundamental in their worship and their daily life. And then they went the way of the world, but the older they get, the more they remember. And I think we need to cash in on that. I think we need to recognize that. There's also a younger generation that was not raised with that background that would have to be won in a different way. But there is a whole generation that needs to be brought back to the Lord and what they knew. And these we're going to sing two really old hymns back to back, and it's Are You Washed in the Blood and I'll Fly Away. And there's not going to be any break in between. You just sing, clap your hands, and let's worship, okay?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood?
Sometimes I might have got them mixed up a little bit today, so if they don't keep everything right, it's probably my fault, but hopefully we'll get what we need today anyway. Let's go to our scripture text, which is in 1 Timothy 4, 13 through 16. Starting with verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And then in 1 John 1:3-7, says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You may be seated. I think today we have in Timothy and 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, I think it is, that these are kind of, they call them pastoral epistles. Amen. It kind of gives you rules to live by. Nobody likes rules. Amen. But we, as a creature, are prone to being unruly. Amen. You ask anybody that's raised a child up, they're unruly. Not because they know to do good, which is another definition of being unruly. You can't be unruly until you know a rule to break. Amen. But children, as soon as they get in the first grade, the first thing they say to them, all right, this is the rules that's going to apply to this class. I don't care which class you get into after that. They do the same thing. But if we come to the house of God, we don't want no rules. They're good for the school, but they ain't good for us. But we have rules. And we have to live by those rules, according to those rules, to become a Christian, to becoming of a Christian. Amen. Your light will shine before the world, that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You have to take out a lot of the Bible. We get through the Gospels. Now, I believe people sitting before me here today, I believe you're saved. If you've repented, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you've been filled with his Spirit. Some people say, well, all you got to do is repent. Well, you know what the sign of that repentance, God received your repentance, is that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Because some people can repent, you can say the words. I can say I'm 6'4", but you never believe me. Because I'm not 6'4". So your walk in your life will declare who you are. And if we have God dwelling within us, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to keep the rules that he laid down for us. Amen. Not that we agree. Not that we like them. Some people say, well, God made me this way. No, he made you as Adam. And Satan come in, and what did he do? He broke the rules. So if you don't believe in rules, you don't believe in the very beginning of the Bible to begin with. We have rules to live by. And we have a way to present those rules too. I've seen them presented really harshly. But see, I'm talking to people that are saved. That's the way I look at it. I'm talking as if you are saved. So I'm just giving you what the Bible would have me to give you. And our focus verse, this is one I think I got mixed up with them back there and a couple other verses. Let's see. But our focus verse today was in John 6:37. And that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out. Now you have two things here that got some people confused. All that the Father giveth me. So that's on the election. And him that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out. We have a will. Now I believe that those their will is to come to the Father. I believe that puts you into the elect. Amen. Once that you've repented, been baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost, And you can't take those things and change them. They're a part of the Bible. And that's the only way that you'll ever see that someone has come to God and are saved. And we have to have His Spirit, because the Bible says, if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. We have to have the Spirit of God. There's no way of getting around that. That's your salvation, is when the Spirit of God comes in you. Amen. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You walk in newness of life.
There, here we are. But anyway, you understand that the church is the pillar in the house of God. It's the pillar that props up the Word of God to the believers. Amen. And seeds are planted in our fellowship, in our churches. Seeds are planted in the hearts of believers. Now, if you come to something, you say, I don't believe that, you're not going to get anything out of that Word. Nothing can grow there. And some come, and the Bible says, and by they are offended because of the Word of God. And many people today, they're offended of the Word of God. Now, we're Christians. We're not offended by that Word. And if you see something that you don't understand, amen, then you ask somebody. Go to your pastor. Talk to him. And verse 16 says, and without controversy, without question. This is unfallible, without question. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. Amen. These are facts. And this is a thing that you've got to come to first. These are facts of things. And the other things that we're finding out here today, there are rules to live by. And you... how could you ever got past the first grade if you didn't learn the rules to live by? And we go on. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They didn't learn it all in the first grade. Amen. They didn't learn it all when they become seniors. Amen. This is a learning experience. Amen. It's a process. It's a process. We don't get it all at one time. At least this dummy didn't. Maybe you can. Maybe you got it all the first day. Amen. But I was called to God when I called on God before that I ever repented. But every time it was something that I needed. It was something for me. And that's the reason that in this scripture in John, when we get to that, we'll find out that they seen all of these signs. They seen the miracles. Amen. They seen the feeding of the 5,000. They seen Jesus walk up on the Sea of Galilee. Amen. They seen all of these things. So I would say that without controversy, they believed in Jesus Christ. They believed in who he was. Amen. But many come following afterward, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but Jesus said, you didn't come because you saw the miracles. You come because I fed the 5,000. They wanted something for this man right here. And Jesus says they got to go past that. Jesus was the bread of life. He had something better to give them, but they have to come in faith, believing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. 1 Timothy 4 and 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some what? What are we talking about? Churches. Some churches shall depart from the faith, some fellowship. They'll stop propping up the truth with the word of God, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. What was Satan's doctrine? His doctrine was to pervert the truth. Isn't that what he did in the beginning? He perverted the truth from the very beginning. Amen. He told Eve, you shall not surely die. And she saw with her eyes, it looked good, the lust of the eye. That's what Satan wants to get us sidetracked to. He wants to get us to begin to look at the things outside of God and that be pleasing to the eye. And then they walk in them. Then when they do that, they walk away from God. But our doctrine today, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4 and 13 and starting our lesson today. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Amen. You have to keep, David said, I hide his word in my heart. He said, so I'm not why? So you'll not sin against God. So you'll know the commandments of God. You'll know what he wants. Amen. He taught those things. And today we have to give time for reading, not just try to get through it to say you've done it, but to read it and understand what it says. Because if you don't, you leave yourself wide open to whoever is teaching you. And this thing's too important. I've learned. I've been in church for a long time. And I know not everybody knows what they're talking about. Amen. They think they do. That's the reason that I say if you see something I teach wrong, come to me. You're not going to offend me. You might embarrass me a little bit. But I would rather be embarrassed than teach somebody wrongly in the Word of God. Amen. Timothy, he was taught from a young age. Amen. He was taught. I've raised my kids up in church, and they always, always remember their teacher when they were in their tender years, when they were just coming up, going in, just starting into Sunday school. My kids always talk about Sister Harmon. Amen. How she was with the Word of God and how she was with them. Well, when she was like that, these things burned into their hearts. Amen. They become seared into their heart. Amen. They can't get away from it. Amen. But you know, people today, they're getting everything all wrong. They're calling, they think they've done their duty because they're calling for prayer to be back in the school. Prayer needs to be back in the home. Amen. That's the only place that's going to do any good. It's got to be brought back into the home. The children have got to, you don't know the truth. You don't take them to school to learn the truth. You take them to church. Amen. So I have some of my relatives, oh, yes, we should get prayer back in the schools. And they never say a prayer. But they think they're doing a little bit of God's duty to say that. Amen. But it's not doing any good. 2 Timothy 3 and 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, now Timothy's father was a Greek, his mother was a Jew, and his grandmother was a Jew. And they taught Timothy from a child up. And he knew and understand the word of God. He was ready, amen, when he came to Jesus. He was ready to go up higher. Amen. But the things that we learn, it's important that we have Sunday school. And the Sunday people that teach down in Sunday school, it's not the most glamorous job in the world. Amen. You're down there. Nobody sees you. You're not getting much out of it for this man. Amen. But those kids will always remember you. They'll always remember you. Amen. So we do it for that reason. Amen. And verse 15, 2 Timothy 3 and 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. It made him wise unto salvation. When I come to repentance, I knew one thing. I knew that I had to repent. And I kind of knew I had to be baptized. And I knew there was such thing as the Holy Ghost, because kids used to make fun of the Pentecostal people for jumping over pews and all that other kind of stuff. And to me, I liked hearing that. I don't know why, but I didn't make fun of them. I zipped my mouth shut. But those things that I heard even then, but I knew, seemed like I always knew, seemed like God has put that in us. I always knew that I had to repent. There was no getting around that. People say, well, God takes you just as you are. Now, I said one time I agreed with that a little bit, but I learned this. I don't agree with that at all. God accepts your repentance. That's what he accepts. He accepts your repentance. And then you get up and walk in newness of life. That's what he accepts. Of course, when I came to him, why would he accept me? Why did I need to come to him if he's already going to accept me? He accepts your repentance. He respects that you come to repentance, amen, and you see sin as what it is, and that you know that you're going to have to come out of your sin. The thing that took me the longest to get to come to church was I wasn't raised up in church for one thing. I had a lot of demons in me. But the thing that brought me to God more than anything else is that little bit of knowledge that I had, that one day I had to repent. And I had gotten to the place where I had nowhere to look but up. Amen. I was already at the place to go right into Skid Row. I was just that close to stop working, stop everything. I couldn't get away from the things that I was doing wrong long enough to work. I would force myself. And I knew in my heart that I needed God. I said, I need God. I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose my soul. And is that worth a bottle of booze? I said, no, it's not worth it. Amen. And you come out of that. And I don't in no way, amen, try to dramatize that or try to make me look like somebody. Amen. I was a nobody. I never started being a somebody till I started church. Amen. And I give all honor to these people that were, they was in church, they stayed in church. I ain't saying they didn't have problems with their flesh. Amen. But they never gave up. Amen. My brother kind of believed it like this. He did something wrong. He said, well, that's it. That's it. That's not it. Amen. In every battle, amen, that was ever fought, there was some that were lost and some that was win, that was won. But the one that stayed with it, amen, and did the right things, they got the victory over it. And that's what we have to do. Amen. But we find that the word today is beginning to get into a different area, if you will. Amen. Different ideals and different things like that. And now they talk against fear of God. I mean, they come right out and say it. Amen. You can't teach anybody fear. That's not going to bring them to God. That's all that can bring them to God. Fear is what brought me to God. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. You don't even have enough sense to come to God if you don't fear him. That's the beginning of wisdom. And in Jude, in in the 12th verse, says, these are spots in your feast of charity. These are spots in your love. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. I used to work in the cotton fields chopping cotton, and I hated for a cloud to come up and do nothing. That's right. I wanted it to rain so I'd get out of that hot field. Same with picking cotton. But you get a cloud come up, it looks like it's just going to do a lot of things. Thunder and lightning, but you don't get no rain. So that didn't do any good. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Amen. We've got to have something, amen, that's going to show. We're going to have some fruits. Amen. We're going to have to cloud up and rain on some people. Amen. To help them to understand what the Word of God says. Job 28 and 28 says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. How can you understand unless you know the Word of God? Faith comes by hearing, and by the hearing, and by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing it. Amen. And when you understand it, you'll depart from evil. But people want to keep their evil. I knew better than that before I ever got to church. I knew that I had to walk away from it. Not that my flesh wanted to. They say once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Well, I disagree with them. But in part, unless you have God, it's true. So if a man walks in here, he's an alcoholic. If it's all right for him to stay with it and bring his booze with him. But no, we preach against those things. We preach from them to come out from among them and be ye a separate, saith the God. That's what saith the Lord. 2 Timothy 4 and 5 says, but watch, or 4 and 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands. Oh, we don't do that no more. We don't lay hands on nobody. Amen. You offend them, you lay hands on them. They say, who do you think you are? You ain't got nothing coming out of them hands. No, I don't. But obedience to God's word does. And that's why we do it. We do it in obedience to him, not that we are somebody. I ain't nobody. I ain't no more. My flesh ain't no more than what it was the day I come up here. Amen. But my flesh is a lot better than what it was. I'm still going to die. I'm still going to go return to the dust. Amen, but my soul, my spiritual man, is going to go on and live with him. Timothy 4 and 5, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Amen, how are you going to make full proof of your ministry unless you do it? Neglect not the gift that is within thee. We all are ministers of God. We all should be doing something of God. But we are like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Their souls were fixed with the conversation of the wicked. So they believe the wicked rather than the word of God. Their souls are fixed with it. And that's why you got to hear the truth in God. You got to get into word yourself too. Because there's not much that anybody can do if you don't get in the word and help yourself. But watch, I read that again, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Now, how many have you heard that left God because they didn't figure the pastor doing just right? That's not even endure affliction, really, but they call it that. Amen. He's human, too. And we all are human. And some people will leave God because I thought you was a Christian. And then they wash their hands of the whole thing. Well, who was hurt in that? Some people, they have their perceived ideas of what a Christian is. And therefore, and I understand, we need to try to, you know, to not hurt them and keep going into the way that we would want them to come and help them to come. Amen. But I mean, Paul says, therefore, that, you know, he says, well, how does he say that? He says, for all things are legal, or saying in those words, but for all things are not expedient. Amen. Not profitable. So some will get into, if they have little things in their lives, just help lead them out of it. And the Holy Ghost will do that too. But affliction is something that causes pain and suffering. And people today, they'll walk away from God for the least little pain and suffering they have to go through. Look at what the apostles, maybe that's the reason they all had to die except John, the martyr's death. So that you couldn't look back and say, well, look what he did for them. No, you got to, they gave it all. They gave their life. They gave everything. And if you want to know more about what I'm talking about, read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy and Titus. Read them. Their pastoral, it will tell you some of the things that God wants you to come out of. 2 Timothy 4 and 2 says, preach the word, be an instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Amen. Rebuke, I think some has had made that a license to mistreat people. I don't think we mistreat people. If I go against something you're doing by the word of God, that's a rebuke. Just you find your way back into the truth. When you bring out the truth and someone's not doing the truth, one time they rebuked me because I was not baptized in Jesus' name. How did they rebuke me? They took the word of God and they showed it to me. Now, they didn't come and slap me down on the floor and choke me and say, you're going to believe this like I believe it. Give the word. That's all I do when I get up. I'm going to teach it exactly the way it says. I have a lot of scripture because my word ain't worth nothing if you don't have the scripture to back it up. Ephesians 4 and 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? Ephesians 4 and 12. For the perfecting of the saints. And for the work of the ministry. For edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying is promotion of growth in Christian character. Now people may not receive that, but I teach it. I'm not an enforcer. Your heart, you have to get these things down in your heart, and that will make the difference. Perfecting of the saints is the chosen of the ones of given to the Father. These are the ones that God has given to Jesus, given of the Father. Those regenerated and sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, I was sanctified through Jesus Christ, but now he has something that I need to do to get this body under control. And it's not going to be comfortable. Because most of it, if you haven't experienced smoking and drinking and all of that other stuff, amen, you're not going to understand how difficult some things are, demons, how difficult addiction is to get rid of. And they say you never get rid of addiction. That's the reason they say you got to go to this place that's set up to help you with your addiction and that one. But the best place to go for addiction is right here where we're at today. Amen. That's the only place. A saint is set apart, sanctified, consecrated. He's set apart. He's sanctified in Christ Jesus. It's fundamental. I got these from the Bible dictionary. It's fundamental ideas. Now that's putting it back on us for ourselves, amen, for our conduct. Our separation, consecration, devotion to God, abstaining from earth defilements. They call us fundamentalists. And that's the reason we're called fundamentalists, because we dare to believe the word of God. Now, a lot of them call say they're fundamentalists to an extent. Then they cut off. Amen. But even today, even those that even name the blood of Jesus Christ is considered extremist, radical. Just naming the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't have to live it, just name it. They've gotten to that point now. Used to, they had to wade through the living. But now they got right down to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Even if you confess that, you're a radical. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear. Thy profiting may, what profiting? It's certainly not, you're saved. The profiting, when others look at you, may appear. Now you know from my teaching, if I'm teaching the Word of God or not. You know if I've studied, you know if I've looked into this thing. If you know anything about the Word of God. But I look into it. All week I look into it and try to find these things. It says, be diligent in your study. Diligently don't mean read a couple of scriptures and you've done your duty. Amen. I'm going to skip ahead. I'm going to pass up Hebrews 11 and 6, 1 Timothy 4 and 16 for time here. Okay, fundamentalists. The Bible reference to this I found said liberal society, this is something I got out of another message. Liberal society uses the term fundamentalist to identify any Christian whom they consider to be extremist. Generally, they classify a Christian as a radical fundamentalist if they merely believe in the literal interpretation of the Bible. If they hold views against sexual permissiveness, homosexuality, abortion on demand, or any views which are politically incorrect. I was glad to hear Trump say he wasn't politically correct. I'm not endorsing anything. I don't think this is a place for it. But amen, we need to set our things on affections above. Amen. And forget about politically correct. They didn't have no Bible. Colossians 3 and 2 says, set your affections on the things above and not on the things on the earth. It gets pretty plain, but in conclusion, 1 John 1 and 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. If that's politically incorrect, well, I guess I'm that. But I have fellowship. I want my fellowship to be with Jesus Christ because I know this thing here has an ending.
Yes.
It is but a vapor. It's here a while and then it's gone.
Yes.
The only thing that's going to count is what you've done in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
My time's
You're
up,
fine.
So I'm going to quit.
You're fine.
Lord bless you. I hope you got something out of this today. Brother.
Why don't you stand to your feet? If people can be convinced, and I believe that if they read the Word of God, it will help them to understand that benefits in serving God not only have to do with hereafter, not only have to do with the eternal, they have a lot to do with the right here and right now. I'm a better person the more I better understand the Word of God.
Yes.
I'm a better father. I'm a better husband. I'm a better employee. I'm a better pastor. The more I interact and involve myself with the Word of God, the better it makes me if I follow it and adhere to it. So teach me, Lord. Let me come to your house. Let me hear your word. Let me take time in devotion, God. Let your word encourage me. Let it also convict me. Lord, we need your word. We need time in your presence, God. It will shape us. It will mold us, God, into better individuals, God. Brighter light shining in this dark world, God. Help us, God. Order us, God. Hallelujah. Whether it's there in the pew, whether it's around the front, why don't you find a place to pray? A few moments, our classes will be returning. Let's take these words that we've heard and let's place them in our heart.
Guide me every day.
Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Order my steps in your word. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day.
Jesus is a fortress.